Welcome to Ask the Doulas with Gold Coast Doulas. This is Kristen, co-owner, and I'm here with my business partner, Alyssa, to talk about sleep today. So we are gaining a lot of interest from clients and the general public about sleep. So if you could start out by letting us know what sleep training is, what it isn't, and how you're different from other sleep consultants.
So there's these misconceptions that we just don't listen to what the parents need or want. We just throw babies in a nursery, close the door, and let them cry for hours and say, oh, they'll fall asleep eventually. And it couldn't be further from the truth. So it's really like putting together a puzzle. When a client calls me, we have a phone consultation, or I meet them in their home and they fill out a really extensive intake form where I ask a ton of questions. I want to know what kind of temperament the child has, whether they're 6 weeks old, 6 months, or, you know, 18 months, because the temperament of that child will determine the different methods we try. And then what kind of parenting style? You know, are you a co-sleeper, breastfeeding, formula fed, babies in the crib? So it's like putting together a puzzle. Let's figure out what you've tried, what's working, what's not working. And honestly, most kids in 3 to 5 days figure it out and start sleeping really well.
That's amazing. I wish I would have had you when my kids were little.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's not, it can be as gentle or as fast paced as you want.
So what's the youngest age that you sleep train? That's a common question we get. And what is the oldest?
So I would say I've had clients as small as 3 weeks, but we don't sleep train. It's more about talking about what to look for developmentally in the next few weeks. Probably by 6 to 8 weeks, they'll start to notice some patterns in sleep. They start producing their own melatonin and all that good stuff. So it's more about talking about proper sleep hygiene, what the nursery should look like, what the environment should look like around naps and sleep. But then actual sleep training, usually around 12 to 14 weeks, as long as the baby wasn't premature and the baby's gaining weight healthily.
Okay, and do you go to the home, or is it a combination of phone and home? And how does a client choose what package they want?
One or the other. It could be based on price, because for me to go to their home, it's a little bit more. Some parents want me to come to their space, meet the baby, see the nursery, see if there's any glaring things that stand out. I might have to go in and say, this room's too light. You need a noise machine. You have with this crib is full of sheets and stuffed animals and blankets and stuff that is not considered safe. Most of the time, it's a phone consult. It seems to work for most.
That's great.
Or if they're out of the area.
So as far as your top tips for potential clients or parents, listeners, what are some things you had mentioned, darkening a room and so on? So what would be like your top 5 things a parent could do?
Yeah, for basic sleep hygiene, you know, really getting them, you know, not until that 6 to 8 week mark do they start producing their own melatonin. So the production of melatonin only happens in the dark, but you also need that production of serotonin during the day. So it's this fluctuation of hormones throughout the day, and one needs the other. So they also need sunlight. So I've had clients where they just sit in a dark room. They think to get their baby to sleep longer, it just needs to be dark, dark, dark all the time. Well, they're not allowing the baby the production of serotonin to be active and have this active playtime during the day. So then it's harder for them to produce the melatonin at night, if that makes sense.
It does.
So, creating a sleep environment that's dark. Sound machines. I've had a lot of clients use sound machines, but they're so soft. The baby can barely hear them. It needs to be loud. I tell them, think vacuum cleaner. If someone were in here right now with a vacuum cleaner, I would not hear anything going on outside this room.
True.
And swaddling. Swaddling, that Marrow reflex or that startle reflex that babies have can wake them up several times in the middle of the night. So a safe swaddle, and by that, like arms in really tight around the arms, but it needs to be really loose around the hips because of hip dysplasia. So
yes,
that's one thing that's with the resurgence of swaddling babies. Doctors have noticed that it can have hip problems if babies' hips can't move. So I, you know, in my newborn class, I demonstrate that, like, really tight here, but here's how baby's legs and hips should still be able to move. What was that? 3 tips?
Yeah. What about daytime? I mean, naps and so on. Do you have any tips for getting better daytime sleep to establish stronger nighttime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go hand in hand. So people will say, you know, he sleeps fairly well at night, but it's horrible during the day. Well, the night's not going to get better until the daytime improves. And a lot of times it's just letting them know how long they should wait in between a sleep. So sometimes for little babies, they might be trying to keep them up for 2 hours. And babies, you know, let's say it's a 10-week-old baby, might not be able to stay awake for more than an hour. So they get overly tired and then they fight sleep. So letting parents know what a sleep pattern should look like based on their child's age is sometimes really important.
That makes sense. And at Gold Coast, we work with a lot of families with twins and triplets. How do you handle sleep training with multiples?
So it's lovely when they seem to have the same temperament and want to be on the same schedule. And oftentimes I have to remind parents that these are two different humans with different personalities.
Yes.
So it's sometimes I've done twin consults where we can do one because the kids' temperaments are pretty much the same. They're kind of already on the same schedule. But then some where they're completely different. When one's up,
sure.
The other one's sleeping and vice versa. So then we kind of have to look at them as two separate beings with two separate sleep plans.
Now, one misconception is if you're working with, whether it's daytime or overnight, a postpartum doula, Gold Coast or elsewhere, that you wouldn't necessarily need sleep training or consultation. So tell us why you need both.
Yeah, so working as a postpartum doula, it's totally different.
Yes.
I guess it's different when I'm there because since I'm also a sleep consultant, there are things I can do, little tips and tricks I can give mom and dad too. But as a postpartum doula, you're there to ensure the parents get a good night's rest. So I'm not there to help a baby learn to sleep or to self-soothe. You're there to help feed baby, change baby, and ensure that mom and dad get rest. A sleep training isn't usually done overnight. I have an option. I have a package option where I could do that, but usually it's unnecessary. My
right.
plans are so thorough, and they get constant support from me that by the time nighttime rolls around, they know exactly what they need to do.
So you can still have a regular overnight postpartum doula, but just have them or the parents implement your plan mm-hmm. you had set up for them.
Yeah, I've had clients either with a doula or, you know, for older children, they have nannies. And
sure.
I have them either get on the phone call with us. If they're not available, they read through the whole plan. And then I've even texted back and forth with the nannies if they're the one doing the majority of the sleep training during the day to
Makes
get them
sense.
On board.
So, Lissa, if you are working with a family who tends to breastfeed their baby to doze off, like that's how they put them to sleep during the day as well as at night, how would you be able to let them still feel connected to the baby in that way and be attachment focused, but still create a stronger routine for their baby or toddler?
So sometimes the feed, we call it like a feed to sleep habit or association, the feed to sleep association doesn't necessarily cause a problem. That's not common. Usually
right.
it becomes an association which includes several wake-ups in the night where the mom has to do this. So again, it's just talking to, there's 20 questions I would have to ask this mom before I could give her a plan. But it's always about her goal. I always ask, at the end of all this, what's the end game? What's your goal for this? And if it's, I still want to co-sleep, I still want to breastfeed, I just can't wake up 6 times every night, then I work out a plan specifically for her. If it's we've been co-sleeping, we didn't mean to, it's not working for our family, it's hurting my relationship with my partner, then the end goal is they want baby in their own crib, whether it's in their room or in their nursery. That's a whole different plan.
And obviously if they're co-sleeping or baby's in crib, it's all about safe sleep
mm-hmm.
and, you know, being able to recognize what is safe and what is mm-hmm. unsafe.
Yeah, and there are safe ways to co-sleep.
Yes.
And a crib is also very safe, but can be unsafe if, you know, say a newborn's put on their tummy, or I go and there's, like I've said, it's filled with stuffed animals and blankets. Right. The first thing I do is rip all that stuff out of there.
Exactly. Well, thank you for your time today. And if people are interested in reaching out to you, whether they live in West Michigan or elsewhere, how do they connect with you?
I would say go to our website, goldcoastdoulas.com. Just fill out the contact form and let me know you're interested in sleep. And you can always call our phone number too. Email me, Alyssa@goldcoastdoulas.com. I'm always willing to chat. A lot of parents will say, I just don't think my baby's ever going to sleep. And after hearing them say a few details about what their nights and days look like, it's usually not as bad as they think. And a few easy fixes can get them on track. So, even for people who don't live in the area, a phone consult with email and text support is what I give no matter what.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Thanks. Thank you so much for your time today. You've been listening to Ask the Doulas with Gold Coast Doulas. These moments are golden.